Welcome to Dying to Ask. Jennifer Jolly, you're like a three-peat guest now, I think.
I know. I feel so honored and so privileged.
I'm so happy you just happened to be coming through town and I could hit you up for this. So we're starting off our Dying to series, which is something we're going to be doing as we head into 2020. I looked at the calendar. Here's what happened with this. I looked at the calendar and I saw 2020. And I remember being a kid when 2020 seemed like Battlestar Galactica light years away.
Yes.
And here we are. So we're ending a decade, we're starting a new decade, and I feel like this is like the ultimate reset button. If there are things you don't like about yourself or things you want to learn how to do, now is the time to do it, right?
Yes. Dying to take a nap.
Dying to take a nap, dying to maybe use your phone a little bit less. And that's why I thought you'd be great, because we've talked about this before. We've talked about how we're all just so bogged down with our devices. And so today, we're going to give you an action plan. Right?
Yes, yes. Dying to break up with your phone a little.
Just a little.
Breakups are hard, but you can do it.
But you can do it. We can do it. Okay, so stand by, and here we go as we are dying to use our phones a little less. I'm dying to ask.
I'm Deirdre Fitzpatrick, and I am obsessed with knowing how people do things. They write the book, they start the company, they go from idea to reality. I call it the art of the follow-through, and I want to know how people go from A to B. This is the Dying to Ask podcast.
So the last time you were on the show, you admitted that you're kind of over your phone.
I'm so over my phone.
Kind of over technology in general, because...
burned out.
You're burned out, like everybody.
Yes. I have been always on, glued to a screen for the past decade as a consumer technology reporter.
It's kind of part of the job.
And I'm burned out. I'm burned out on social media. I'm burned out of being glued to that screen 24/7. Mm-hmm. I realize how much time it's taken away from my life. And no one, you know that old saying about nobody ever says on their deathbed, I wish I would have worked more. Nobody ever says, I wish I would have been on my iPhone more. I wish I would have been on my smartphone more.
I would have downloaded that app.
I wish I would have
spent better at Candy Crush.
I wish I would have spent more time on social media. And said no one ever.
No one is ever going to say that.
No.
Ever. Can I tell you a funny story real quick? And this really like hit it home for me. I'm in Tahoe this summer. You know, Mark Zuckerberg and his wife have bought up a couple of those Tahoe West Shore properties.
Yep. Like
tens of millions of dollars. And I have always, there's a house that's on the lake called the Carousel House. I have loved this house since I moved to California. It's beautiful and romantic, and it's that old school Tahoe history. And Zuckerberg now owns it. So we were out on a boat. And of course, the thing now is like you go and you buzz his house to go see if he's out there. Sure enough, there he is sitting on his beautiful dock with his cute little kids and his wife and I assume some bodyguards. And I looked at him kind of looking out the lake and I thought, well, isn't that interesting? He's not sitting there looking at a phone.
Mm. And how many millions of people would be at that same place doing exactly what he's doing, taking pictures and putting on Facebook or putting on Instagram the photos of their perfect Tahoe life instead of actually being in their perfect Tahoe life.
Sneak a picture just to show people I saw him sitting there, you know. But I remember thinking like, all of us being tied in with our social media and our phones kind of created this. He's living in, you know, the house I've fantasized about for decades here.
We made him that money.
Yeah, we did.
So because all of these apps that we're sucked in and completely addicted to these apps now, that's how those people make money. They make money on our attention because they sell ads for our attention, right? So if you're okay making somebody else filthy, stinking rich because you're glued to your phone, okay, that's your choice. This is America. You can make those choices for yourself. But the average American is spending, I just picked up my screen time, 3 hours and 47 minutes is my daily average. Now, that does include podcasts, and I listen to audiobooks for an hour while I'm out running, listen to your podcast all the time.
Those are definitely advocates of.
Yes. So that counts against your screen time. But if the average American is now up to 3 hours, I read some other reports says more than 5 hours, the average American is spending 37 minutes a day with their family.
That's the stat?
Isn't that disgusting? We're spending less than 40 minutes with our family, but more than 3 hours with our smartphone. Is that really the relationship you want to have? And what really makes me sad is when I'm in a grocery store, I'm in a restaurant, I'm at a beautiful dock somewhere in Lake Tahoe, and there's a mom on her phone and a child begging for her attention. Mommy, look at me. Mommy, do the my and begging. There are now new studies out that shows that parents who ignore their kids for their phone, it has the same repercussions on children that other forms of neglect have. They are more likely to have trouble in school. They're more likely to have learning difficulties and disabilities. So we're not just wasting time on a phone with Candy Crush. We're hurting an entire generation, not only ourselves, but our kids too.
Well, this got heavy quick.
I know. I'm sorry. You can tell I'm a little fired up about this.
But I am
too. How
to
break up with your phone a little.
Yeah, but I really am too. And it's hard because we all need these things to do our jobs anymore. Like, I have two phones sitting here in front of me. I have a work phone, and then I have what I call the bat phone, the personal phone. And the reality is that I'm using both of them interchangeably throughout it. I mean, like, there isn't an hour of the day when I'm at work that I am not on that phone, because that's how I create content. That's how I share content. That's how I interact with our viewers. That's how I research. I mean, like, we do need it. There's no doubt about that. But you're right. It is taking away from those other parts of our lives and making them less rich. And we should all be mad about it.
Yes,
we should be.
We should.
Okay, so we're mad.
Okay. And also, a few years ago, we weren't expected to work 24/7. We now are expected to be always there answering our emails, answering our text messages. Not only expected, but we willingly do that. When we have that smartphone and we answer that work-related email at dinner, we're saying, my work is more important than my family.
We're also telling people that it's okay to hit us up for this stuff all the time, too.
And work all the time.
Yeah. I mean, like, and I have to say, that's one thing that I do respect. And we're both Gen Xers, like, card carrying. But I really do respect some of the changes that the millennial generation has brought into our workforce, because I do feel like they have pushed that kind of a question, saying, you know what? No, working 24/7 isn't necessarily a good thing to do. So I do think people are a little bit more open to that. So let's come up with our action plan of breaking up with our phone, recognizing that we do still need it for work. So let's just put some parameters. And I'm going to throw one out there. I feel like if you are listening to podcasts, listening to an audiobook, and it's background, to me, that's kind of like having music on in the background, or it's like having the TV running for a couple of hours. That stuff doesn't bother me. The stuff that bothers me is the stuff where your head is down, your neck starts to hurt, and your thumb, like, it has a physical injury from scrolling.
And it also really changes the chemistry of your brain, because we're looking at things no more than 20 seconds at a time. So it's really hurting our ability to pay attention to anything, including ourselves.
What'd you say?
For 20, right, what? How many seconds? 17?
Squall.
So the first thing is, we're going to navigate a successful breakup. And anyone who's ever been in a relationship knows that this is not going to be easy. It's not all or nothing. Okay? So set yourself up to succeed.
So this is, it's not me, it is you.
It's not me, it's this damn phone.
Yes. Okay. So acknowledge, it is the phone.
It is the phone. And we are, acknowledge that we are creating a better relationship with our phone, just the same way as we would with somebody who is an energy vampire in our real life, who is taking all of our time and our energy and using it and leaving us depleted.
Like that girlfriend.
We'll break up with her.
Yeah. Okay. So number one is, we're going to make the decision that we're going to do things differently.
Yes.
Okay.
That's number one. And then we're going to reframe the way that we think about it. So a lot of people equate spending less time on their phones with denying ourselves pleasure.
Okay.
Okay. So we're going to reframe that. Think of the time that you spend on your phone as time that you're not spending doing other pleasurable things in your life. So make a list. What are things you love to do? Anywhere on that list, is it phone time? Is that like ever top three?
It's never.
What are the top three things you love to do?
I love to run.
Yes.
I love to hang out with kids.
Yes.
I love to read.
Yes. There's three things right there to do instead of going on your phone, right there. So
you have to get resentful, because this phone is taking me away from these other fun things.
I think instead of resentful, I know anger works very well for me personally. Or somebody telling me, or I know, right? Or somebody telling me I can't do something. Oh, hello. So I'm going to tell you, if that works for you, you can't put your phone down. Okay, boom. I just did it. I got in your psyche, and now you're going to show me otherwise, right? But I think instead of getting resentful, it's about getting hopeful.
Oh.
It's about saying, it's 2020.
Have you been listening to Oprah's Super Soul
Oprah
Sunday?
Is my church. Oprah is my religion. Oprah Super Soul Sunday is church. I listen to that while I'm running.
I love that.
And it's funny because we have a mutual friend, and I
you
run
and
with
Oprah
her.
You and Oprah have a mutual friend?
Well, you and I have a mutual friend.
Okay, sorry.
No, me and Oprah do have a mutual friend. It's everyone everywhere, every woman everywhere who wants to feel empowered. Every person. I won't be sexist about it.
No, every person
everywhere. But it was really, I do listen to podcasts, and my friend, our friend Heather said, one day I couldn't go for a long run with her, and she listened to our podcast, and she texted me halfway through and said, okay, this is a way I get to be with both of you and run with both of you, even when I'm by myself.
That's really nice.
So that was sweet.
Okay.
So that was a little aside.
Let's go back. So you said reframe. Is that what you just said?
Yep. Yeah. Reframe the way you think about the time that you spend on your phone.
Okay.
So instead of thinking it as spending less time on my phone, think of it as spending more time on my life.
Oh, my gosh.
Right?
Yeah.
I thought about this. I thought, you told me we were going to talk about this, and I thought about this. Then ask yourself what you want to pay attention to and make that list. That's actually step two.
Okay.
Okay. So remember that the people who design apps are desperate for our attention. That's the way they make money. Remember that. There's somebody on the other side of those apps on that phone who have studied psychology. They've put a ton of time and energy and effort into getting you to spend time on your phone. We are bigger, we are better, and we are stronger than those people.
I'm better than you, Candy Crush.
I'm better than you, Mark Zuckerberg, on your island,
on your
private,
beautiful
everything.
Dog.
I know, right? So then you want to set yourself up for success, right?
Okay.
So just saying, all right, I am going to spend only 15 minutes a day on my phone. Well, that's not realistic. To go from 3 hours and 45 minutes to 15 minutes is not realistic. So again, we're reframing this. What do we want to say? You're that person, I'm that person, who falls asleep to the phone on your bedside. Plug your phone in down in the kitchen overnight. Put a book on your nightstand instead. Figure out what you're going to do in those pockets of time that you can get back. The easiest time and place to take your life back, is it when you're in the car? Put the phone in the trunk when you're in the car.
Yeah.
Kind of should do that anyway.
Yeah.
Is it when you're with your kids? If you've ever, and I know parents, I've done this, and my daughter's now 18, and this has happened, where I'm kind of not really paying attention to her, and she's talking to me, and instead I say, oh, let me look that up. I'll find the answer on the phone, mm-hmm. and 30 minutes later, I'm totally ignoring her.
Right.
If that's ever happened to you, notice
You're
it.
Human.
Yes. Hello. We are human. We are addicted to our smartphones. Pay attention to it, but put the phone down.
So here's what I think. I think you should make that list of those things.
Yes.
And I think that goes on your no list. Like, my phone is no longer next to my bed.
Right.
My phone is kept in this location. My phone is not used when I fill in the blank.
At dinner. It should never be used at dinner time. You should spend at least 30 minutes going for a walk, going for a run, where that phone is not with you. And my mom and I were talking about this in the car driving to Sacramento today from Oakland, and she said, but, you know, I don't usually take it when I walk on the beach, but then I like to take pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And that's tough because we do like to take those pictures. But where do those pictures live? How many hundreds of tens of thousands are living on your phone?
Didn't you tell me there was a study, too, that showed that when you don't take a picture and you look at something,
yes.
that you tend to have a much more crystallized memory of it as well?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so think about that.
Yeah. And somebody else said create some speed bumps for yourself. So changing the color on your phone to black and white helps you not love Instagram as much. Instagram becomes kind of dull when everything's black and white. You can set a lock screen that every time your phone wakes up, you see something that triggers you to pay more attention.
Hmm.
To, you know, put a little saying on, no phone time is great phone time. You know, something
right.
like that. Something that feels good. And then you mentioned, so another step here is to pay attention to your body. Pay attention to how you feel when you leave that phone at home. Does it produce anxiety? Does it make you feel like you're missing something, like your right arm is missing? Is your neck sore?
Psychology Today just did a whole article that was called, like, how to know if you're addicted to your smartphone or something,
right.
or technology. And they gave this checklist of 10 things that psychologists now will ask people as they're talking to them about different kinds of addictions. it was all of that. It was, does your body physically hurt when you're using it? Because you probably do have that tough neck that everybody talks about where you're hunching over. Do you feel anxious, that FOMO, when you've left the phone at home? You know, does this happen? And the answer is probably yes for most of us. So I like number three being create those no phone zones, create those speed bumps. And then how about number four is ask yourself how you truly feel and be honest, like fess up how this stuff is making you feel.
Yes.
Okay. So,
and we don't typically like to do things. I mean, there are those people who do like to do things that don't feel good, but most of us, we shy away from things that hurt us, physically pain us. So if you start recognizing that and you recognize the physical, mental, emotional pain of being addicted to your smartphone, you will eventually, it doesn't happen overnight, but you will start taking steps to fix it.
What if we just had times of the day when we look at the phone? Like, what if we actually set it up? I've done this with email, and it's super effective for just actually being able to focus at work. Like, what if you said, look, I'm going to spend 15 minutes going through my emails or doing that stuff at this time of the day? Do you think that would be a good way to try to get around some of this?
That's worked for some people. It hasn't worked for others. There are people who try really hard to set time limits of like 15 minutes on Twitter. It's tough. So you have to try it. Definitely try it. If it's hard, maybe give yourself 20 minutes. Now, this should be, I'm not sure if we're on step four or step five.
I think we're coming up on step five.
But use technology to save yourself from technology.
That's crazy.
So this is where you use Apple in iOS. It's called Screen Time.
Okay.
So you go in your iPhone settings. I'm going to do it right now. You can hear me tapping. and it's called Screen Time. And for me, it's right below Do Not Disturb. And Screen Time, now here's the problem with it. So there is something that you can set called downtime. There's app limits. There's always allowed. There's content and privacy restrictions. So downtime, you push that and that you will only get apps will come through only that you've given permission to, or phone calls. Like if, you know, I'm always worried I'll miss a call from my daughter or my husband or something. And then you can set time limits for each app. Now, the bummer about this is that it's labor intensive and you can snooze it. Like when your alarm goes off to shut that app down, you can snooze it.
You can work around it.
But yeah, there are workarounds.
It's a step.
That's built into your iOS already. You can also do Freedom and Flipped. FLIPD lets you block access to problematic apps and websites when you need to take a break. And then Flipped, what I like about it, it creates friendly challenges with other people to see who can spend the most time offline.
I love that.
So if you're a little competitive, that works really well.
You've met me. Okay, so we need to start wrapping up. Yep. Let's say you said your screen time was 3 hours. What's a good target goal as you start to reduce your time?
Well, how much more time, what could you do if you just had an hour back of your day?
Great question to ask
What
yourself.
Could you do if you had 2 hours? You could finally exercise every day.
Yeah.
You could finally start writing that book. You could visit, you could spend time with your kids. You could start organizing your photo album. So this is step five. Get existential about it. Nobody ever said on their deathbed, I wish I spent more time on their phone. Be all Oprah about it. That is, you know, dig deep and find that power within to make a change. 2020 is the year we'll do it.
Here's one more thing I'm going to throw out. Habits don't happen overnight. I've heard it said that it takes 30 days to form a habit. The thing about forming a habit is you get addicted to the habit. So get yourself addicted to not being addicted to your smartphone. And one way to see what that really feels like, and this is hard, but you and I have both done this, go cold turkey. Just do it.
That's the
best
way. That
first day,
to do it.
I will tell you right now, is pure hell.
Yeah.
Second day, a little bit better, but you're still reaching for it. By the third day, you feel a chemical change going on in your brain. By the fourth day, you feel really, really good. By the fifth day, you are convinced you will never pick that phone back up again. And then once you end that week of doing it and you start to pick up the phone, you will be shocked how quickly it all comes back. So make these changes. Try some of these things Jenna's been talking about, little bit at a time. See how you feel. Be honest with yourself and embrace it. This is a big problem for a lot of us, myself included.
Yeah.
These dying twos, here's a secret. they're all things I'm trying to get better at.
Hey, and can we all talk about this? Can we support group each other?
I love it.
Let's
do it.
We're going to have to do it on social media.
Yes, that's, with our limited screen time.
That's your allowed screen time. But let's talk about the challenges. Let's support each other. Let's hold each other up and hold each other accountable.
I love it. Okay, best ways when we are using our screen time properly to keep up with you, Jen.
Techish.com, although I haven't been keeping up with myself as much. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all the things.
Yeah.
Maybe it's best just to come and meet with me in my dog park.
I think it's a really it's a really nice, relaxing place to go check out and check in, I guess. And then don't forget to look for her articles, too, on USA Today and some great ones on the New York Times as well. You've written some really great columns here in the last couple
Thank
of years.
You.
Thanks for coming in and giving us this challenge as we head into 2020. I'm committed. This has to be the year of making some big change, and I think you've given us some really great tips today.
Thank you so much for being who you are, for inspiring us, for being our friend, and for always getting the best work out of everyone you speak with. Best work and best moments.
Well,
you're
the
amazing.
Best. All right, keep up with
New
the show.
Year.
You can follow me on Instagram at Run Read Sip. The show is on Instagram at Dying Desk Podcast, and we'll see you next time on Dying Desk.